This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us. It is race week on the Big Island, and the excitement's building. I am so looking forward to this weekend's race and watching it. It's going to be absolutely epic. I think if the 70.3 Worlds in Nelson Mandela Bay just a few months ago were anything to go by, I think we're in for a great weekend. Obviously, a couple of injuries to some of the big contenders, which is disappointing. But yeah, let's see what the Big Island dishes up for us this coming weekend. Today's chat is I get to share a story of one of the triathletes who's going to be racing again this year in Kona. And we did this recording just a couple of weeks ago, literally just before he was about to hop on a plane to head to Hawaii. So we talk about going, but he's there already. So we're going to do some time traveling on today's podcast. But I'm talking about Toon Veldman. He's from Belgium, and we get to share some of his story and journey into the sport of triathlon. And it's a bit of a family affair, as you will hear on today's podcast as well. A big thanks to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. Today it is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for high-performance race wheels, then look no further than Wheel Science, okay? They give you all the performance of the big name brands, those high performance race wheels that cost an absolute fortune. And the good news is you can pick them up at a fraction of the price. So you can get all the performance at half the price. And they've got a phenomenal package that they're pushing on their website at the moment where you can pick up training and racing wheels. You can get a bit of a combo deal and save yourself a whole whack of money. That's right. If you pick up a set of their elemental race wheels, they'll throw in a set of their Vortex wheels, which you can use in training, at 50% off those wheels. So definitely go check it out. You can save yourself a whole whack of money, and be sure to use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout. That's all one word, KONAEDGE, to get 10% off your order as well. That's KONAEDGE, and the link is below this podcast. So thekonaedge.com/wheels is where you can get to. Welcome onto the Kona Edge. We head to Belgium now to catch up with Toon Veldman. Toon, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Toon, I have to make sure, first of all, have I pronounced your name correctly? Obviously, it's not an English name. It's not one that rolls off the tongue for most of us. Did I get it right?
Quite right, yeah. It's Toon Veldman.
Toon Veldman.
You did a good job.
Veldman, okay, perfect. Great. Well, we've got you on, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you. You are, as we're recording this, just a few days away from hopping on a plane and heading back to the Big Island. The excitement is building in the Veldman household.
Yes, very much. We are leaving in 3 days, I think. I'm practicing quite a lot at this moment. In 3 days, we are leaving. My wife and two kids are joining me, so very excited to go there. It's the fifth time I will be in Kona, fourth time I will participate. So I'm looking forward to it.
And nice to have the family with for the first time.
Very nice. Yeah, well, I'm quite anxious to see how it goes because my two children are 2 and 5, and we'll see. It's a long way and 3 flights, so we'll see how that goes. But once we are there, well, everything will go smoothly.
I was going to say that long haul travel to Kona is probably going to, with two little kids, is probably tougher than race day.
Well, maybe I'm afraid of it. Yes. We'll see how it goes. My wife is there. My parents are joining me. So we'll manage.
Does that add a bit of pressure on you going into a race, knowing that the family's there to watch?
Well, I've been 3 times before to Kona, to participate. And, well, it's perfect to being able to prepare and just thinking of yourself. But actually, I'm quite, happy now the family is there. They will be, there to support me the days before and the day itself. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
So tell me a little bit about you growing up and your sporting sort of backgrounds. Before triathlon, what sort of stuff were you into?
Well, I grew up together with my 3 older brothers, and all four of us, were playing basketball. And I did it until I was 28. So that's quite a long time. But I've always been very much interested in all kinds of sports. I tried some sports out, but there was just one sport that I did competitively, and that was playing basketball.
Very different to triathlon.
Yes, very different. And when I was 28, I never even cycled. Well, I did cycle, but never on a race bike. And then just my knees started hurting the last couple of years playing basketball. And at a certain moment, I said, okay, I quit. I have enough of it. Otherwise, I will have got several injuries or operations at my on my knees. And I said, okay, let's buy a race bike together with my two brothers. And at that moment, Stan and Stefan already did triathlon, already qualified for Kona once in 2009. They participated. I was their biggest fan, and I started training together with them. And that's how I started doing triathlon.
That's incredible. I mean, it's a real family affair. Like, I mean, you say your brother's involved as well. Picking up the cycling, I mean, there's a massive cycling culture in Belgium. You say you didn't have a racing bicycle, but I don't know if it's in your genes. There's something about Belgians and cycling.
Yeah, there's something about Belgians and cycling. The roads here are very nice to cycle. Everybody is very much into it, is interested in it. You can see it on television a lot as well. So yes, I was always interested, but for some reason, me and my brothers were always into running, and that's our best discipline out of the three. So I used to run when I was younger as well, and was pretty talented at it. So never that really into cycling, but once I got the hang of it, it went pretty good, I think.
So tell me about the competitiveness. Obviously, I grew up with a brother as well, and I know what it's like having an older brother in the house. Everything's a competition. Who can eat breakfast the fastest? Who can brush their teeth the fastest? Was it the same in your household? Are you and your brothers very competitive amongst each other?
Yes, we are. we were and we still are. But well, I was the youngest. There's a difference of 4 years and six years. So 4 years to the twins, Stan and Stefan, and then 6 years to my oldest brother, Gert. And well, I had the advantage that I was the youngest and my parents always supported me. So even when I lost, my father said, Tony's still the best because he's the youngest. So I've got quite some good impressions about it, memories of it. So,
who's
we were very competitive, yes.
Who's the fastest Ironman in your family?
For some reason, I'm the fastest swimmer, so I'm gum. And at the end, on the finish line, we are always very, very close to each other. But I have the fastest record at this time. It's in Klagenfurt, Austria, where I did 8 hours, 44 minutes.
I mean, that time is crazy fast. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around a sub-9-hour Ironman. As an age grouper, I mean, you must be very, very proud of that performance.
Yes, I am. yes, I am. And, well, doing now triathlon for 10 years, almost 10 years, I can see that every year it's getting better and better. I think it's because of the continuity, doing all the sports continuously, and every year I feel better and better. Times are getting better and better, so yeah.
So you make you make a very important point there, having that continuity and the base that you build on year after year after year. Doing well in a sport like triathlon, you get guys that come onto the scene, they burst on and they're really good from the start, but you have to be patient. If you want to be a really good triathlete, you need patience, don't you?
Yes, that's for sure. When I started doing triathlon, whenever season was over, I stopped for a month, 2 months, and then I did run. But I stopped swimming, I stopped cycling, and then I noticed that you need the continuity to just all the time, not all the time on a high level, but even winter times, just keep on training, and that's very important. And the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Dude, tell me why Ironman? I mean, there's so many distances. There's sprint, there's Olympic, there's half Ironman distance. Why the big ones? What's the attraction for you for the long ones?
First of all, I think I'm the most talented at it. So I've got a very sportive heart. My heart rate is always very, very low. So even when I was younger, doctors said to me as well as to my brothers that we are very talented to do long distance sports. But then on the side of it, I started doing triathlon very late when I was 28, 29. And the explosiveness of my muscles was gone or almost gone. And then you just go better doing the long distance. And I liked them the most as well.
Do you wish you had started earlier, that you had discovered triathlon before you were 28?
Yes. Yes. If I had known, I did a good job at it, and I loved it as much as I do now. I would have stopped playing basketball when I was 24, 25, and started doing triathlon at that moment. And what's very important is I would have, when I was very young, I would have started swimming as well. Because you never get the technique. I don't have it. And you cannot learn it, especially in swimming. And that's something I miss, I think.
Dude, what advice, if you could go back, I mean, obviously one of the things would be starting sooner, but if you could go back and tell yourself now, as you are now 38, if you could go back to 28 and tell yourself whatever you could, knowing what you know now about the sport and what it takes to be successful, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe in the beginning, a mistake that I made in the beginning was doing everything too fast and not resting enough. And that's something I changed 2-3 years ago, taking easy weeks. So training hard for 2 weeks, but then taking a week where I took it slow. And in the beginning, I didn't do that enough.
Have you seen, since you've been doing that, those 2 weeks on, 1 week off, like backing off slightly, have you seen big improvements in your performance?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I feel much better, and I every race I do now is, I see myself performing better and better. And okay, it's difficult to say what is the exact reason why it's getting better. It's the continuity, as I said before, but it's also taking enough of rest.
Let's talk about the rest and recovery side of things. Outside of triathlon, I mean, what do you do to switch off? That it's not always, because as much as you need to rest physically, you also need a break mentally. You can't just be in it all the time. What do you do outside of triathlon to sort of take your mind off things?
Well, I think that I found the perfect combination between my job and triathlon, because whenever I stop doing triathlon, I go too much into my work that I'm stressed out of, because of that. And whenever I'm too much training, then I miss doing my job. And I think those are the two most important things in my life, and I found the perfect combination. That, and on the side, of course, my family, my two little kids, my wife, who support me as well in my job as in my sportive life. And I just try to manage those three things together. And that's a perfect combination for me.
Tell me a little bit about job-wise. What's the setup? What do you do for a living?
I've got my own firm together with my brothers, again, all three of them. We've got a firm in construction, finishing business. So renovating, painting, flooring, that's what we do.
It sounds pretty physical. Is it quite physically intensive?
Well, we are managing the company, so that's okay. It's okay.
All right. And getting the balance right of getting enough training in and still being able to work and pay the bills and then do what you need to do at home with the wife and kids. How do you juggle that?
I guess I when I was younger, I've always been sporting. Also, when I went to university, sporting was always very important in my life. So for some reason I was always able to manage everything around it. And that's how I do this at this moment as well. Of course, I have to have a comprehensive wife. But she learned to know me when I was already doing a lot of sports. And yeah, I just, yeah, got my way into it and found my way. And yeah, but it's not easy. Everything is very structured in my life. So I wake up in the morning. I can tell you now in 6 months time what I will do on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday of practice, because you need a very structured life.
Talk to me about a normal day. I mean, do you wake up early and train, or do you fit training in during the day? How does your day generally work?
I wake up early in the morning, and the guys go off to work, my employees, and then I go to the swimming pool, start swimming for 1 hour and 15 minutes. With our triathlon club, we rent the swimming pool every day of the week. I do my practice and then I start working until 6-7 o'clock in the evening, and then I go and cycle or I run, and in the evening I come home and I don't watch television or anything else. I'm with my wife and kids. That's it. So quite a busy life.
Yeah, it sounds busy, and keeping the sort of balls in the air, so to speak, it is tough. I mean, that's one thing I think a lot of age groupers struggle with is sort of managing to do everything they need to do. From a training perspective, are you coached? Do you have a coach, or do you work things out yourself?
No, I do have a coach. I think it's very important to have a coach. Although I think I know my body, I know when I'm exaggerating training or not, or which pace I should running at. But still, I very much need a coach to tell me what to do to whenever I feel down or some practice doesn't go good. I call him and he's there to support me. And I think it's very important to have a coach. Happy with my coach.
Have you had the same coach right throughout, or have you changed coaches since starting in the sport?
I've changed coaches once. My first 4 to 5. I was with a coach and I needed something else, different approach. But at a certain time, I think you need to change, especially because it was my first coach and I didn't have any other experience. I had the feeling that I needed a change. With my new coach now will be joining me to Kona. He's the coach of my two brothers. They will join me as well. So they will participate also.
Dude, that's amazing. As far as the sport itself goes, triathlon and Ironman, what do you think is the biggest challenge facing the sport today?
The sport itself or around it? Or how do you mean?
Both. I mean, the sport obviously has struggles. There's lots of talk about drafting and there's lots of talk about doping. In your mind, what's the biggest challenges the sports face today?
Well, actually, I've been talking quite a lot about it. What you can do about the drafting problem, about doping, etc. It's very difficult. Actually, I don't know. I don't have a very good solution, but. Okay, you've got Kona now, where you cannot, when you start, you will be in a group of cyclists, you know there will be drafted somehow. It's very difficult to avoid it. I don't know.
Yeah, it is such a difficult challenge, and I think Ironman has gone some way in the 70.3 World Champs to alleviate that. Obviously, having the men's and women's races on separate days, but I think with a race like Kona and the longer distances, I think it's not as practical. I think it's a lot more difficult, but it is definitely a challenge in my mind as well for the sport. Yes. Let's talk about.
But I still have the feeling that in the end, the best one, the best participant is still winning the races. Mm. I wouldn't exaggerate the problem. I mean, as far as the Kona tickets are going, it's still the best and the most talented persons who qualify for it. Maybe in the back where a lot of persons are cycling together, it's much more of a problem. But I think at this moment, it's still the most or the best athletes who are still going away with the prizes.
Yeah. Dude, you've been to Kona a few times, as you mentioned. What's the secret to being able to qualify for the Ironman World Championships? What does it take? What do you think it is? And not just once, but multiple times.
It's difficult to say because the sport is getting more and more popular, and that means that the level of you have to perform is getting higher and higher. So no matter what, it's not that you can go to a race and say, okay, I'm gonna get my ticket anyway. But being able to have a chance to have it, it's again I we'll talk about the continuity of. Not stopping for 1 month, 2 months or whatever. It's just practicing, yeah, whole year through, and when it doesn't work, just get back on your bike or just go running again and try again. But then something I did the last couple of years and where I put more and more effort in or attention for is my nutrition. I think it's very, very important. All the details, since everything is getting more and more competitive, all the details are getting more and more important, and nutrition is one of it that is especially in age groupers, something that not everybody is doing very good, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll dig into the nutrition side of things in one of our chats. But let's talk about expectations going into this year's Kona. You just about to leave. What are you hoping for? What's the plan? What do you want to achieve?
Oh, I was 16th last year. So I'm just hoping to do better than it. I was 103 in total. I'm hoping to do better this year, and we'll see where I will end up. But it's very difficult to say in Hawaii. It's just another race than all the other races. I have a lot of difficulty with the heat and with sweating there during the race. And it's difficult to say beforehand where I will end up, but I hope I can go faster a couple of minutes. And then especially in my running, because there in Kona, it doesn't go like I know that I'm able to. So if I manage to do a nice run, we'll see where I end up, but should be better than last year then.
Dude, talk to me about preparing for Kona. I mean, this time of the year, you've obviously been doing a large part of your preparation in the European summer, but we all know the European summer is very different to the conditions in Kona. I mean, Kona, like you say, gets very hot. It's very humid as well. Do you do anything special to prepare yourself physiologically for the heat and the humidity while training at home?
Not really. The thing I did this year is going 1 week to Lanzarote, because that's in Europe, the place where you can go, where the windy circumstances and the humidity is just a little bit like Kona. And I have been practicing there for a week, but here in Belgium, it's very difficult now. I went cycling today, had to wear a long sweater, long trousers. So I know that the difference with next week will be very, very big.
Belgium's also not the hilliest of places. I know you guys are right next door to the Netherlands, which is as flat as it comes. Conditions couldn't be further apart from what you train in at home to Kona, particularly on the bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But okay, you've got some nice cycling routes here where you can get some altitude as well. You can prepare here very good for the race, except for the humidity and the heat. That's just the big problem.
Absolutely. Well,
and you need to go if you are living in Europe or especially in Belgium, you need to go to Kona at least 2 weeks before, because otherwise it's too late. If you arrive there 1 week before, there's a 12 hours difference. And the humidity, it's just crazy. You have to acclimatize. Otherwise it's you arrive there too late and you cannot do a good race.
Absolutely.
I'm convinced.
Well, Tune, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for the next time. Thank you so much for joining me on the Kona Edge today.
Okay, thank you.
And that's it for this edition of the Kona Edge. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to Tune as well. Best of luck this weekend, Tune. I'll be following and tracking you closely. Looking forward to seeing you racing on the Big Islands. Until tomorrow, you have yourself an absolutely brilliant one. And thanks to our sponsor, Wheel Science, for bringing you this edition of the podcast. If you're looking for high-performance race wheels at half the price that you would pay on the big-name brands, they come with lifetime warranty worldwide. You can get them shipped anywhere in the world as well, and they are phenomenal. If you haven't seen what they look like on my bike, there's a couple of photos doing the rounds on our social media feed. Just look for Kona Edge and go check them out. They are super, super sexy. So thekonaedge.com/wheels is the URL to get to. You can click through from the podcast player you're listening to this as well and get 10% off your order by using the coupon code KonaEdge at checkout. Until tomorrow, have yourself a great one. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.